the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We have a wonderful Lord, don't we? He's good. He's precious. He's kind. He's everything to us. To Him be the glory. To Him be the honor and the praise for everything. Amen. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We'll start reading at verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to begin my prayer tonight once again in thanking you for who you are and how good and wonderful you are. And I want to thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. I want to thank you, Father, for He who is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you tonight for the privilege of gathering a congregation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church together and preaching unto them from the Bible, the Word of God, some truths that I believe will be helpful to us. And so once again tonight, you take this simple message, you use it to your glory and your honor. And Father, at the end of this message, help us to look up and say, we have a wonderful God. He's good and precious to us. Thank you for the men that are here tonight. Father, we're going to be preaching concerning the men, and we need your help. And we want to thank you for everyone that has come to be here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cut out a piece. I don't remember. I've had it probably for 20 years, so I don't remember where I got it at. I don't remember who wrote it. I don't remember any of those things, but I want to read it to you. This is what is titled False Manhood. The world thinks of a man as a Marlboro man. He stands long and lean, rugged and free. The sun glints off the ruddy crags of his face. Behind him, a herd of galloping mustangs symbolize his strength, daring, and hard-tack masculinity. Hence, America's portrait of masculinity, macho. The world says emotion and gentleness is for sissies. Men play football, not Monopoly. Shrewd, not sensitive. Hardness, not caring. Strong and silent, not tender and kind. Success or failure determined by what we have and what we do, not by what we are. That's the world's view of a man. Now, let me say something to you. We'll say a little more later on. There's no doubt a man ought to be a man. No doubt about it. But it's very, very interesting in the scriptures, in the Word of God, that God, when he talks about a man, does not look at any of the things that we just talked about. We're going to find out in a few minutes what God says about a man and what he looks at concerning a man. It is my belief, I've pastored for 30 years. I know just a little bit about it. Maybe not a whole lot, but a little bit. I know one of the things that's needed in our government, in our homes, and in our churches is men. Years ago, when I went into the pastorate, It wasn't the first year or two, but soon after that, one of the things I asked God for is, I said, God, if I'm going to build a work for you, give me men. I prayed for that down through the years, and God has given us men. You cannot build a church without men. There's churches all over this country that is being run, and let me say this kindly, being run because the men will step up, and so the ladies in those churches try to keep them going. I'm not downing the ladies. I'm saying thank God that they care enough. But what is needed in every church is men. A man not too far from here, years and years ago, I used to visit, try to visit him on a regular basis. He got where he hid from me. I guess if I was lost, I'd do the same thing. I don't know. Used to go there, and he would say this to me once in a while when I would catch him. I caught him one day between the house and the barn. And I pulled up just at that time, and I called his name and said, how you doing? And he said, you're here to talk about that religious stuff, aren't you? That's exactly what he said. And I said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, if you want to talk about that religious stuff, just go right on there in the house. She's the one that handles all that. And that was his whole attitude. And he said, if you want to talk to her, go talk to her about that religious stuff. But me, I'm going to the barn. I don't want to talk about the religious stuff. Well, what I'm simply saying is, and the tragedy of that is, I followed that a little bit. He lost his children. I'm not talking about death. He lost his children. None of his children are saved. None of his children live for God. And he himself also is still unsaved and does not live for God. What I'm simply saying is, the duties of Christianity, of spirituality, is not to be passed over on the women. Now, should they be spiritual? You know they should. But the leadership of spirituality should not be passed over to the lady. It should be taken up by the man. And we need men in our churches. We need men in our homes. We need men in our government. I'm talking about real men in our government that will be godly men and stand up for what is right. And we need that in our homes. Our homes are deteriorating terribly. You know that if you just look a little bit. Homes are deteriorating, tremendously deteriorating, and our churches are deteriorating. We need men to stand up and be men. I'm convinced of that. And I believe because, and I always preface this and say, we know blessed hope is not perfect. We're well aware of that. That's why we keep preaching. That's why we keep working. We've got a ways to go. But I believe the success of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is because we've got some good men that will stand up and do right. And then along with that, they've got some ladies that will follow right along. I've said this before. Folks, I do not know what we would do without the dear ladies of a church. They're servants. They are such a blessing to a church. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. What would we do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church without the ladies of the church? But you must have men. You must have men that will step up and take leadership and do what is right and proper in their homes so that we can have a good church. So I'm going to talk to the men a little bit. That's the world's idea of a man. That is not God's. That's the world's idea of a man. Now I want to go over to the book of Psalms, the 26th chapter of Psalms. In fact, I probably will not read all of this psalm, but it is a wonderful psalm. Sometime take the time to go through it slowly and see what David is saying in this wonderful psalm here that you'll find. It's a tremendous psalm, and it'll be a blessing to you. But I'm going to read the first three verses. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. In other words, I will be without wavering. He says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before thine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. David was a man here who, as he talked about walking in his integrity, he said, I have sincerity of purpose. That's basically what he's talking about when he talks about integrity, sincerity of purpose. He presented himself before the Lord and he said, Lord, examine me. In other words, look me over. Boy, that's something to be able to say to the Lord, stand before the Lord and say, Lord, examine me. Look me over. He says, not only that, prove me. In other words, he's saying, bring me into circumstances that my faith will be tested and proved. Folks, I think I read this morning about Douglas MacArthur that he wrote. He didn't ask God to keep him out of troubles and heartaches. And I'm talking about difficulties and trials. He said to bring him into them so he would be strengthened and helped. And David was saying, go ahead and prove me. Bring me into circumstances that will help my faith. So many times, and we're all guilty of this sometimes, but many times when troubles come our way, we immediately, the first thing we want to do is beg God to get us out of those troubles when we don't understand that what God is doing in those troubles is strengthening our faith and helping us. And so we find that he said, prove me. And then he said, try me. That trying there is speaking more like a silver, as a silver is refined in an oven. And it's refined because in that oven, the dross comes to the top. I know a little bit about that because I worked at Anacon Aluminum Company for some years. Dave back here did too. And Dallas did too back there. Can't remember if there's anybody else. But they had furnaces back there and they heated that to a tremendous degree. Aluminum, I think it was somewhere around 1300 degree. And it brought the dross up to the top and then they skimmed it off. It would not do that without heat. And what David said here, try me. Put me in the refiner's oven. Get the dross off of me. And God does that to strengthen us in faith. He also says in verse number 2, he says, and try my reins and my heart. The reins speaks of the seat of affections. God, try me. Put me in a place where you try me and make sure that my affections are in the right place. Where is my affections here in this life? What do I love? What do I care about? Do I love the Lord? Is he first? Do I love him? And then he talked about also his heart, and he speaks there about his thought and his will. Is my will, God, what your will is? God, try me. That's what David said. Now, what I'm saying is, I think we as men need to be tried. And God is good at that. God is good at putting us into circumstances to see what we will do. And in that, he proves us and tries us and builds our faith and strengthens us as men. But what I want you to notice is this, and we'll go over to find this in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 8th chapter of 1 Kings. What I want you to notice, and I'm not going to read lengthy portions of Scripture, which we could. I wish that as you go through your Bible and read your Bible, you'll kind of keep a mental note up there and look for what is God concerned about when he looks at a man. What is he concerned about? Is he concerned about how big he is, how tough he is, how good looking he is? Is he concerned about these? No, what you will find in the Bible, the Word of God, God is always concerned about his heart. What kind of heart he has. And we find in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, verse number 18, and the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thy heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thy heart. Now, if you go to the Bible and you read David's life, David was a soldier. David was a man who fought many battles. But when God looked at David, here's what he said of him. He said, it was good. It was in your heart. God was concerned with David's heart. What was in David's heart? Not so much about how many battles he won, how many enemy he killed, how many Goliaths he took down with a stone. No, he said, David, it was good. It was in your heart. That pleased God. Look over in verse number 18 verse number 23 of chapter 8. He says, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servant that walk before thee with all thy heart. And over in verse 39 of that same chapter, he says, then bear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only knowest the heart of all the children of men. And you go over and over and over, and I could just continue to go through the scriptures and show you that when God looks, and in fact, I'm not going to turn there, but when David's son Solomon, you know what the Bible says it made God angry? You know what made God angry with Solomon? It says when his heart was turned away from God. So when we get right down to it, when it comes to manhood, what does God look at when he says, that's a man? It's somebody who has a heart for God. He may be a scrawny little fellow. He may be like we called in our Bible school, he may be a runt. Benjamin played runt. Benjamin's not no runt anymore, but he played runt. But he may be a runt, but he may be a big guy with God because of his heart. You see. So what I want us to get off of is us quit looking at men the way the world look at men. Look at all their accomplishments. Look at how many points they score. Look at all the athletic ability they have, all the things that they can do. And you see, that's what the world does. That's not what God does. Not one bit. So what I'm saying to us as men is we've got to remember something. God looks upon the heart, and that he determines whether a man is a man or not. Amen? I heard a sermon preached. You may have heard it years ago by Bob Kelly. He preached about Stephen. It was a wonderful message. He said, there was a man. Stephen had a heart for God, stood up for the things of God, died asking God to forgive those who were stoning him. He said, that's a man. I'll never forget that message. It touched my heart. Yes, that's where you determine what a man is. But the world wants to look and see how tough a guy is, how big he is, what he can do. No. That's not what God looks at. God looks at the heart. You know, we could go over in the scriptures, maybe we should. Acts, the sixth chapter of Acts. I guess, first of all, what I wanted to do was dispel the idea what the world looks at as a man, and because we get caught up in that too. Well, that guy's a man. Well, and I'm going to tell you about it. I believe in being a man. But when God looks at it, here's where he looks at. You can be as tough as you want to be, but if you don't have a heart toward God, you're not the man that God would say you ought to be. Amen? So in the book of Acts, the sixth chapter, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out from among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now here they was looking for some men. The widows was having some needs, and they weren't being met. They wasn't being looked at. after. And we find, he said, you look out over and find seven men. And he said, here's the qualifications. He said, honest report. I mean, they was honest. They didn't cheat anybody. They was honest. Honest report from even without, from even from the world. They had an honest report. No one could come and say, oh, this person cheated me out of a certain amount of money. They didn't do right when they worked for me. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. No. They honest. Honest report. Now, God said, that's the kind of men that we need. If they're going to be deacons, that's the kind of men we need. Amen? That's what God said. Now, God said also, full of the Holy Ghost. The other qualification was, you've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, being full of the Holy Ghost means that you are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to direct your every move. You're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You're willing to follow God. That's what God says. If you want a good deacon, you get a man who's honest, get a man full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible also says, and wisdom. Now that's not world's wisdom. That's God's wisdom. See, God didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, let's look around here and see who's got the highest position in the community. Let's look around here and see who's the richest. Let's look around here and see who's the best looking. He didn't say any of those things. He said, I want somebody that's honest. I want somebody full of the Holy Ghost. And I want somebody that's full of wisdom. You see why it's a little bit tough to be a deacon? You go over in Timothy and you'll find out he gives some other restrictions over there concerning their families and all these kind of things. You see, God, when he looks for a man, he doesn't look at how tough he is. He don't look at any of those things. He looks at how spiritual he is. He looks and sees what kind of heart he's got. Now, I'm simply saying to you folks, what we need to do, you see, when a church looks for men, whether that be a pastor or a deacon, you need to look scripturally. See what the Bible says about a man scripturally, spiritually. What kind of life does he have spiritually? He may have all the talents in all the world. It won't make any difference if he doesn't have a heart for God. Amen? Now, men, now listen up. What Pastor Ross is saying to you, you know is true scripturally. Isn't that what God looks at? It's what God looks at. You know, don't pass this thing off and say it doesn't make a difference. Yes, it does make a difference. Amen. Now, it's not just for the pastor, not for the deacons. That's the kind of man God wants every one of us to be. He wants us to be that kind of man, you see. And step up and be the kind of man we ought to be. So when a church looks for a pastor or for deacons, they ought to look for somebody who's honest, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of wisdom. Amen? Plus the other ones. I'm not going to take time to go over it, take too much time, but you can turn over there. You can turn over there to 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, and you can find those things and read them. It gives the qualifications of a pastor and a deacon. Let me say also this. God does want a man to be manly. He wants him to be a man. That's why it talks about in the Word of God about how a man ought to dress. You see, this thing has been passed around so much, and this church has taken such a worldly stand on this, that people who have some standards and say men ought to look like men, ought to dress like men, we look at them as legalists and all kinds of things like that. Well, that's not true. The Word of God says it's an abomination for a man to wear something that pertaineth or is prepared for a woman. It also says it's an abomination for a woman to wear something that's prepared for a man. Now, is the Scripture true or not? Does God care what you wear? Yes, he does. So God wants a man to be a man. Wants him to look like a man. Amen. He also has things to say about the hair. You look in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, you read about the hair. And the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Now, folks, that's still true. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. And it says the long hair on a woman is her glory. Brother Ross, that's good preaching. You know what we want to do? We want to say it's okay. Yeah, a man ought to have short hair. But we want to say it's okay for a woman to have a crew cut. It isn't. Not scripturally, it isn't. You may do it, but it isn't scripturally okay. Let's get back to men. Men, you ought not to have long hair. God said you shouldn't. He said it's a shame. You ought not to have long hair. Amen? Now, our men do good. I believe they do. They do good in here. I'm proud of them, thankful for that. You know why? Because it's scriptural. It's not being mean to anybody. You don't just have short hair because it's scriptural. It's right. Because God says it's right. Amen? We all just do that. See, so God, does he want us to be manly? Yes, I believe he does. I think he wants us to have a heart for God. But let me say to you, when you get a heart for God, these other things won't be hard to follow. Because God knows that it all starts right here. You get a heart for God and a willingness to listen to the Word of God and say, this is what God wants, then it's not too difficult to just do what God says. You read the scripture and say, well, God says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, so I'm not going to have long hair. That's just the way you do it. You know why? Because you got a heart for God. See, you got a heart for God. Not only that, I believe something. I believe a man is supposed to be the head and center of the home. Now, I read that just a while ago in Ephesians. I want to go back to the book of Joshua just for a few moments. The 24th chapter of Joshua. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I want you to notice something. Joshua 24th chapter, the first verse. These are very interesting chapters. If you read chapter 23 to chapter 24, this is the ending of Joshua's life. And God has some very wonderful things to say through Joshua to Israel. They're tremendous. Read that sometime, just chapter 23 and 24. It's interesting how God speaks to Israel through Joshua. But in chapter 24, verse 1, he says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Now, I want you to know when Joshua was going to tell these Israelites something, who did he call? Did he call the women? He called the men. Called the elders. Called the men. He said, I've got some things I want to tell you. Why? Because men are the head of the home. It's good preaching, Brother Ross. If I don't get any amen out of you, I'm going to amen myself. The men are the head of the home. That's why he called the elders. Now listen, he says over in verse number 11, he says, and you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them unto your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And you dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards that, which ye planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood of the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are verses of scripture you've heard many times. You've heard that statement made many times. And what Joshua was simply saying this, and I'm saying this kindly, he did not go home and ask Mrs. Joshua. He was standing with the elders of the Israelites. And he says, you've got to choose what you're going to do, but as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now that's the way it's going to be in my house. We're just going to serve the Lord. Joshua was the head of his home. And he didn't ask if it was all right if they'd done something. He didn't ask if it was all right if maybe we'd go to church on this coming Sunday. What do you think, honey? You think we ought to go to church? No, he didn't ask that. You see, the problem we have today in this society is this. A lot of women do not want to yield to that. When it comes to that, they do not believe the Bible. They do not believe it. No, you say, I believe the Bible. No, you only believe it in fact. But when it comes to application, you do not believe it. Because you want to still be the head of the home. There's a lot of mamas that are the head of the home. Now, I'm saying to you, men, it's a shame to you. Now, you say, Brother Ross, you say, you think we ought to be dictators? No, we're not supposed to be dictators. We're supposed to be loving leadership, but we are to lead. And we're to be the headship of the home. We're to be the center of the home and the headship of the home because God said it. It's not because this preacher's saying it. God said it. One of the greatest tragedies we see, and here's one of the things that you've got to understand this because I've watched it for 30 years. You've got to understand that when you do not take the leadership of your home and stand up and take the leadership of your home, you are passing a message on down to your children. And you're saying, this is the way we do it in our house because the mama is the head. She's the one who makes all the decisions. Let me tell you what will happen in their children's lives. They'll do the exactly same thing. And that thing will never quit. It'll just keep being passing on down, unless somebody gets a hold of Scripture and understands the Scripture and does right and turns that thing around. But what I'm saying to you folks is this. You just think that you're doing that to just have an easy life. You think, man, it ain't worth the fight. It is worth the fight. Because there's more at stake than you. Your children are at stake. Your grandchildren are at stake. Those around you are at stake. We need men to stand up and be men and heads of their home and leadership in their home and take the place of leadership in their home. Like Joshua, and say, you know what? This family is going to serve God. We're going to do it God's way. Amen? See, we need men to do that. We need men in our churches. Not macho men. We need godly men. Heart given over to God. Says, God, I just want to do it your way. So I'm saying again, men, women, listen up. You're not going to win that game. Ladies, you're not going to win that game. You see, what a lady does is she plays her husband. She can either be a blessing and a help to her husband, or she can be a curse to her husband. Believe it, I've watched it, I've seen it. She can be the greatest blessing. Let me tell you, a man needs a good, godly wife. And if he has that, he's a blessed man. And he needs her. He needs her help and support, not to get it done her way, but supporting her husband as he leads and guides the home. Boy, there's nothing like having a wife that'll do that for a man. Nothing like it. It's wonderful. But I say to you, men, you've got to make a choice. Joshua told the Israelites, choose you this day whom you serve. You see, it's a choice that is made. You're going to determine whether you're going to be the head of your home or not the head of your home. And you can do that without being hateful and hurtful. You can do that in loving leadership. But there's no doubt in your children's life who's the head of the home. That's important. Because you're establishing something in those children's lives. And the same thing will happen to them more than likely. Amen. So men, step up and be leadership. Be the leader of your home. Now listen to me. I don't know. I don't try to get in personalities. But I know this. There's some ladies fuming if you're the head of your home. They're boiling inside. They're smiling up here. But they're boiling down here.
They're saying, I don't want my husband to hear this. I'll figure out a way to make him forget it. We'll just give him a little time and he'll forget all about it. We'll go back to our old ways. Husband goes home after a message like that and say, honey, I'm going to be the head of my home from now on. She says, give it a little time. She smiles at him and bakes him a cake. 2 or 3 days later, she's telling him what to do again. I've seen it too many times, over and over. Amen. Well, that brings shame. Whether you know it or not, lady, that brings shame upon you. To be the head of your home, to be the leadership, to be a boss to your husband, absolutely brings shame on you. It's a shameful thing. Amen. And your husband could never be a deacon. Your husband could never be a pastor. Impossible. You know why? Because you don't yield to your husband's leadership. And he has not got the rule of the home. And that's required in a pastor and a deacon. Scripture, isn't it not true? 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter? Sure it is. See, rules them out. Many women rule their husband out of ever being a deacon. Just rules them out. So what I would say is this. I would say to the young ladies that's not married, if you're not willing to yield and submit to your husband, do everybody a favor and stay unmarried. And I want to say to the men, if you're not willing to step up and be a man in your home, do them a favor and remain unmarried. Amen? Because there's in a lot of young ladies today, because they grew up in a different generation, that don't want to say, I'm going to submit to that husband. They'll take the vow, not realizing that a vow is a very serious thing to God Almighty. Yes, I'll obey him. Yes, you probably will for one day. Maybe. But no, God remembers the vow. Amen? So I'm saying to you, men, it's important that we step up and be the leadership in our home. Not only that, a man must set the moral example in the home. Years and years ago, and maybe it's the same way today, but I know it used to be, women do a lot of things nowadays that they did not do years ago. So I'm going to say that. But years ago, it was if a woman went out and done something very bad, it was a tragedy, it was hurtful, it was horrible in the eyes of people. But if a man went out and was unfaithful to his wife, people laughed about it. Now years ago, it was that way. Well, he's a man, showing his manhood. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I believe the way God looks at it is this. Men, you're the head of the home, and you have more responsibility to set the moral example in the home. You know what happened when Achan stole? Let me just make it short. Achan stole. You want to know why it happened? It affected his whole family. And you think for one moment that the head of the home can go out and commit all kinds of sins and do wrong and not be a godly person, and it's not going to affect your whole family? It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your wife. It's going to affect those around you. You see, men have a responsibility to take the moral leadership and be godly people, pure and godly before the Lord. Men have their responsibility. It's not funny, young men, you go out and talk about going out and doing things that are wrong. I'm trying to be not too explicit here, but going out and doing things wrong, what you can do with the ladies and all these kind of things. I'm going to say it's a shame. It's not funny. It's a shame. And those things ought not to even be talked about. It's terrible. You ought to take leadership as a young man and step up and be pure and holy and do right. Amen. And take the leadership in the home. Men, we're to take the leadership, moral leadership in our homes. You remember Eli? Remember back when Eli, you know, he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas? He had two sons, and they were men of Belial, wicked men. They knew not the Lord. And Eli was a high priest. And God got all over him for not restraining his children. Now, I want to tell you something. They wasn't 3 or 4 year old folk. They wasn't teenagers. They was adults working in the temple there. Unsaved, working in the temple, doing horrible things in the temple, committing all kinds of sin. And God told him that because of him not restraining his children, God was going to put a curse on his whole family. And he died not long after that, Eli did. And what I'm saying to you is this. His children, we want to think, is it funny? Yeah, they done what they wanted to. His children died outside of God. They're burning in hell today. High priest children are burning in hell today because a daddy would not take their leadership and do right. Listen to me. You can't worry about what the world says. If you've got this influence on you that the world is going to tell you and people around you don't like all the things that you're going to do in a godly way, you just put it down. You're responsible for your children. You are, not them. You think there won't be pressure on you to do opposite of what is right and proper according to Scripture? Sure, there'll be pressure from all around you, from people who don't want to live like that, don't want to live godly and holy lives. There'll be pressure on you from all around. But you've got to make the choice. What you better do is eye some of those people who's telling you how you ought to live and look at their life. How did their family turn out? Now, are you going to listen to them? Or are you going to listen to the Scripture? Are you going to look around and see some men in this church who's loved God and walked with God and served God for all these years? How God has blessed their families. Are you going to do that? Or are you going to look at these people and listen to those people who's trying to tell you not to live right for God? Because they're out there telling you. Look at their family. You tell me, how did they fare? Amen? So what I would say to them is don't tell me nothing. I've learned from your life. I'm going to do right. I'm going to go the way that is absolutely right. Men, take the responsibility. Folks, let me tell you something. Men, you're always going to have those who's going to stand against you. You've got to learn to get some backbone and stand up and say, this is the way my family's going to live. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do it right. You've got to do that in your home. And make that decision, make that choice. Amen. So a man needs to set the moral example in his home. Not only that, a man is to lead spiritually. I want to show you an interesting portion of Scripture back in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, please. 14th chapter. Verse number 34 and verse number 35. Now he says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What he's basically dealing with, been talking about the gifts. He's been talking about the problem that they had with this thing called tongues. It got out of hand. Tongues, if you'll just know, we're not teaching on that tonight, but tongues was languages. Anybody knows their Bible, they know that. It was not some ecstatic type speaking. It was languages, real languages, where they spoke a language and a person who was of that language could understand what was being said because this person spoke the language they heard in their own language. It was a gift of God in the early beginning of the church. It was right, and they was having problems with this thing. So what he was saying is, if you read that whole scripture, he was not saying that ladies has got to come into the church and sit in a pew and cannot talk. He was not saying that. No way did he have any meaning about that. What he was saying is they're not to come in and to speak in a matter of teaching or speaking in tongues. That was one of the problems. And bringing a revelation. Women was not to do that. And God said it was a shame for them to do that. He said, here, ladies, is what you need to do. And they was talking about the Bible doctrines and things, the truths of the Scripture. He said, if you have a question, go home and ask your husband. Now, you know what that says? That says, husband, you need to know the Bible. Amen. Now, that's not a bad thing, you see. It's right for you to be able to go home and ask your husband. Now listen to me. Ladies, don't go ask your husband who Moses' mother was. Look that up for yourself. Most of those things you can look up for yourself, those informational type things. But if it's talking about Bible doctrine, things teaching, things that they want to know, and if they honestly want to know them, it's our responsibility to teach it. Hunt it out if you have to, but we need to teach it to our ladies, to our wives. It's right and proper for us to do that. What I'm saying is, don't put pressure on your husband. He's supposed to know every name in the Bible and all these kind of things. Look them up yourself. Do your own Bible study. But there's things that a lady sometimes has question about. Scriptural questions that she does not understand. God said, here's what you do, lady. Go home and ask your husband. Now, what does that say? That says to the man, you need to know. So you can tell your wife and talk to your wife about it and teach her and train her. That's not bad. That's good. What God is saying, though, is the man is to be the spiritual leader of the home. Amen? So that's why, you know, we don't do that. You're not, I'm sure, having trouble with that. But we don't let ladies teach men in the church. We can't. It's unscriptural. Has nothing to do with a lady. Lady may have very good knowledge of the Bible. And a lot of ladies do. They have an understanding of the scriptures, and they study a lot of times more than we men will. But we can't have a lady come up and preach in the pulpit because God said no. We can't have 11 teach a Sunday school class where men are involved. That's why, because God says no. See, that's why we start at the fifth grade and begin to divide our classes into girls and boys. We think it's proper. We think it's right. It's best to start and getting amused, used to this. Because it's right and it's proper, you see. So they're quiet because they're getting older and they're getting into the place where they're going to be men pretty soon. So we want the men teaching the boys and the ladies teaching the girls. Well, it's proper. Now what I'm saying to you is you've got to understand the truth. That's what's happening. If you go into most churches, a lot of churches in America, I'm just not talking about this kind, but you go into a lot of churches in America, you'll find ladies up teaching Sunday school class, teaching men. First time I went to Providence Baptist Church, it was ladies out there teaching the men. It's wrong. It's unscriptural. It's wrong. You can't do that. Why? Because the Bible says so. It's not something we've just conjured up and said. No, the men are to spiritually lead. Let me show you one more portion of Scripture over in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. And I want to read verse number 17, 18th chapter, verse 17 of the book of Genesis. 18th chapter, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him. Now this is God speaking. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Why did God have faith and trust there in Abraham, that Abraham would do right? He said, I know him. In other words, I know his heart. And I'll tell you what he'll do. He will command his children and his household to follow after him. And so doing, they will keep the ways of the Lord. That's why God could trust Abraham. You know why? He said, he'll raise his family right. He'll command his children. He'll be the head of his household. He'll take the leadership. He'll do what's right. So I can trust him. And that's why he put so much on Abraham. Now, what I'm saying to you is this, folks. Men, I don't know whether you like it or not. I don't know how you're feeling right now. I really don't know. But God put the responsibility for every man to lead his home. And you and I will be responsible for that when we meet God. Why? Because it's Scripture. You see, a man on Sunday morning, he may not have to do it just like this, but a man on Sunday morning ought to tuck his Bible under his arm and say, family, we're going to church. We're going to be there for Sunday school. We're going to be there for church services. Sunday afternoon, folks, put everything down and away. We're going to church. We're going to be there in time. We're going to sit and listen to the preacher as he preaches the Bible. Wednesday night comes along, you say, we're going to be in church on Wednesday night. No, the man ought to do that. It's his responsibility to do that. And God holds him responsible for that. And I'm simply saying to you folks, men, step up to the plate. Do right. Be a man. I'm talking about a real man. I'm not talking about a worldly man. I'm talking about a godly man. Be a godly man. Step up where you're supposed to be. Be a man. Take the leadership. Now, here's what I've heard. I've heard this down through the years. Well, you don't understand. Man, I tell you, I just fight these battles with her all the time. And you know, I just want to have peace. I just want to go home and want everybody to leave me alone. I just want to have peace. And if I start all that kind of stuff, I mean, it gets all a mess around our house. And I just don't want to fool with it. Shame on you. Shame on you. What you're saying is, God, you don't know anything. And you don't know how to handle a home. So I'm going to do it my way. It's not the way to do it. You'll never have a godly home. You'll never have a home the way it's supposed to be if you don't step up and be a man. I'm saying to be a man, right kind of man. You be a godly man. You be kind to that wife of yours. You love that wife of yours. The Bible commands it. You love her. You care for her. But you love her enough to be her head, her leadership. Amen? Now, I hope it's helped. There's so many things we could speak to men about, but that's what I feel like God wanted me to speak to you about. Now, ladies, you know how you can make it a lot easier for that husband of yours? Go home to that husband and say, honey, I've tried to be the boss. I've just run you. I've worked you. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. I've worked you to get my way. But from now on, I'm just going to yield unto the Lord. You're going to be my head. You're going to be my leadership. And I'm going to follow you. We're going to do what you say. It'd be such a blessing to that husband. Make it so much easier for him. I'm not saying he still oughtn't to do it. He should do it no matter what you do. But that'd help him if you just do that. Amen. So we ask you tonight as we give the invitation, don't be ashamed to get it at an altar prayer and say, God, there's some things, some areas in my life that I need to straighten up. I need to do, because I would say more than likely there isn't a person in this room standing or sitting that hasn't got some things that God would work on their heart and say, I need this done. So what I'm saying is, why don't you just take the step tonight, come to an altar prayer, men, and say to God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be the leader of my home. I'm going to be the spiritual leader. I'm going to be the moral leader of my home. And you ladies could just come on up too and get along with God and say, if you haven't been, you can say, God, I haven't been very good at this. I've really fought my husband's leadership, and I've worked him over and over and over. You know, I'm dwelling on that, but I want you to know something. I've seen it over the years, how women can work their husbands, put threats on them, and if they don't do like they want, they can give them all kinds of trouble. They won't hardly speak to them. They withhold other things from them. Shame. Such a shame. What I'm simply saying to you is what need to be is men and women need to come to an altar prayer tonight and just say, God, we're going to do it your way. We need men. We need men in our country. We need men in our homes. We need men in our churches. And I trust we'll step up and do that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness. And I want to thank you for who you are and how great and wonderful you are. Once again, Father, we've preached basically to the men tonight and ask you, God, to simply just help us as men to be the leadership, to be what we should be in our homes and certainly in our church. Now, once again, I simply just ask you to have your will and way in every heart. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.